All right. Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Also, follow us on Instagram, same exact thing. Also on Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Hit us up on Spotify and iTunes for download and subscribe. Also, follow us on Twitter, at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. All right, Chris. Now, my picks were terrible to get to this point. We're at the championship game. You know, I went with some upsets, and it didn't work out for me. But we're here.
I rode a little bit of a roller coaster to get to this point, but I got three of my four in place.
Yeah, we got three of the four in place. I believe in Tom Brady too much. Obviously, he's not the same guy. I believe in Tom just a little. It's just not there. And, you know,
I believed him in enough to put him in a position to lose to the Niners because he already did that. He burned me so many times this year. I went with the because it's Tom rule. And that team was just in such a shamble that the because it's Tom rule couldn't go into effect.
Yeah. You know, he should retire. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. I know he has his
job. Oh, come on. He's coming. He's either coming to you or he's going to go to New England and play for his old offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien.
His boy's back. Him and Belichick together. I think that's a recipe to get Tom Brady back. And you know, they sure want Mac Jones to see what playing quarterback actually looks like.
Oh, Robert Kraft. You know, Robert Kraft is mad. Robert Kraft has been pissed for three seasons.
Mm-hmm. If they're going to get their boy back, watch, dude. He's going to end right back in Boston. I will die.
As soon as I saw the Bill O'Brien rumors, I thought, bro, I was like, oh my God, they're good.
And this kind of gets us into right exactly what we were going to start the show with, which was these coaching changes. You got Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator back in New England. There's no reason we don't see Tom because he'll go play for the veteran minimum. He's that kind of guy. He'll just go to do it.
Yeah.
And that defense that's not a bad defense. So he's got something to rely on over there.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me, what are they? They're drafting 14. They can get any stud wide receiver they want at 14 coming out of this draft to play with Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, I don't know. It's just the Patriot way, the way they broke up. I don't know. Robert Kraft would probably be like, no, Alex Guerrero is coming. He's going to have his own offense again. You're not going to say anything, Bill. I don't care what you think, Bill. Yes, Tom, Alex Guerrero. He's the new strength. And he's also the new strength and conditioning coach.
For the whole team. What if Bill was taking the heat all these years and it was really Josh? What if it was your guy that was causing all these problems and Bill just laid on the sword?
I think there's something a part of that too, man, because, you know, he's never said anything nice about Josh. He's never came out and said, like, Josh is an awesome coordinator. I mean, he was forced to after some rumors came out after he left the Bucks, but he's never said anything else. He never said, like, you know, he had Bill O'Brien in his documentary. Josh McDaniels didn't get an episode. Charlie Weiss was on it. Charlie Weiss. Two offensive coordinators. The one he was with the longest was it. Interesting.
So we're gonna create this narrative now. Brady back to New England, back for the Patriots, which would make things even more interesting because you know everybody's talking about Hackett being the OC in New York, and that means Aaron Rodgers is gonna be a Jet next season.
The funny part of this is we're back to year two of people hiring Nathaniel Hackett, hoping to get Aaron Rodgers. We're at year two of that, which is awesome.
What if it actually plays out the way that we're talking about? Brady and Rodgers are playing against each other twice a year. Josh Allen is now the third most popular quarterback in that division, and Tua and the Dolphins tank again.
Oh man.
They fired their OC talking about offensive coordinators.
Who did? The Dolphins?
Didn't they fire their
OC?
The defensive coordinator. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. They fired their DC. And then I mean, they're trying to get Fangio. There's a Fangio sweepstakes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're trying to get Fangio. But back to the coaching hires. You got Frank Reich in Carolina.
I feel bad for Steven Wilkes.
I do too. But he should have known. Interims never get jobs.
The poor guy, like, he gets that job in Arizona. Can you imagine if Arizona would have stuck with him and Josh Rosen? How different this franchise could have potentially been right now?
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have Kyler Murray, but
which would probably be better for them.
Where does Kyler Murray go if the Cardinals don't take him? That's always I always am so interested in that. Where would he go? Because he's
small. Not going anywhere. He's there. He's stuck. He's a Cardinal. They paid him too much money to have him do anything else. How do you get rid of that contract?
You can't.
No, there's only one way that this works out. And I think it was Colin Coward that brought it up. And I think we mentioned it on the show before. You flip Kyler and Russ. I don't know. Trade? I don't know else. Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean by that? Flip him.
Yeah.
Trade. I don't know what that means. A trade. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Other than that, like, both of those quarterbacks are stuck in their current places forever. Because the only team that's going to be willing to eat a quarterback cap right now, there's two teams that have to eat some cap. The Packers, if they do decide to move on from Aaron Rodgers, that's a $40 million hit. Oh, don't forget the 16 void contracts that they've got that are coming due this year, which add another $16 million. So the Packers have a cap starting without $57 million, 25% of their cap for this upcoming season gone if you trade Rodgers and with all the voids that they have to deal with. The Packers are in a lot of trouble personnel-wise this next season. I'm very curious to see how this ends up working out.
So Nathaniel Hackett goes to the Jets. I mean, they obviously are trying to, hey, Aaron, look at this. Hey, man, you got Nathaniel Hackett, which I don't know if he's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, Matt LaFleur calls the plays. See, that's the thing with these guys who don't call plays. Yeah, but
Matt LaFleur, when the Packers had Hackett, they were one of the best red zone teams in the NFL.
See, that's the thing. I mean, that's what you have game planners. You have the OC who's a game planner. You got to call plays now, Hackett. Can you call plays, though? It's different than you're in the game and it's 3rd and 5 and you call play. Are you going to call Hank? Are you going to call Curl Flat? Or are you going to actually call a good play? That's type of guy. Rat. Matt LaFleur. You can game plan for him, Hackett. Yeah, you put the game plan together. You get the designs. We should do this. Matt, do this. This is Matt LaFleur. He's the one with the thing in his hand calling the plays, though. So you can design all you want, but that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just – I don't like that. Those guys kind of get away with it a little bit in my opinion. That's why I feel like Eric Bieniemy has got a job yet. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's just absolutely – it's just the beginning. We haven't even gotten to the offseason, Marcus. Like, they've got actual football to talk about, and they're already diving into all the offseason what-ifs.
Because it's the quarterback thing. Or the quarterback carries, so where's Derek Carr going? And, you know, there's a quarterback always get moves, veteran quarterbacks, but at the same time, we're like, you have to draft a quarterback because you can only win on a rookie deal. And then – all this other, you know, whatever narrative that we got. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we got these OCs moving fast because, as I'm saying, we get Nathaniel Hackett. Can we get Aaron Rodgers? Because I just don't understand why you hire Nathaniel Hackett after last year. I just don't see it. He doesn't have the track record by himself as a play caller. That's what I'm saying. All right? We get into all these weeds of designings and things like that. You got to call the plays. You know, play calling is an art in itself, right? So it's interesting to see how that goes with Nathaniel Hackett, but he's going out there to the Jets. Maybe he can fix Zach Wilson. I don't know what their plan is over there with Zach. Maybe they still trade for Derek Carr, right? And then, you know, who knows what they're going to do, but the Jets are going to try to get a veteran. You know, maybe
we already decided your guy's going to your old guy's going to the Saints. We already picked his destination.
I already know. I know that's happening. The ESPN threw the Texans, but I doubt that Derek Carr is going to say trade me to the Texans. It's a no trade clause. Yes.
Trade me to the team that is going to be picking a quarterback. That's exactly what I want.
And knowing Josh McDaniels and his dumbass, he probably is talking to the Texans. He's probably actually negotiating because Nick Cassero, I put this out there. I just had a feeling that Davis Mills runs the same system and they could do like a quarterback swap or something stupid. And he's probably trying to do that. He's probably trying to, because I don't know where that rumor came from. Jeremy Fowler got that from somewhere, right? About Carr going to the Texans. I think he's going to the Texans. But I'm like, why? Because Cassario, who's from the Patriots and also thinks he's the head coach of the Texans, he just hires dummies because he's the real head coach, the GM. Did you know that? He's in the sideline. He like calls plays and shit. Did you know that? I said shit, my bad.
Did you know that, Chris?
I swear to God. He's up in the booth. The GM's up in the booth. So, he just hires a dummy coach because he's the coach. That's why they run the Patriots system. They do Patriot stuff. So D'Amico Ryans is, you know, what he's getting into. He doesn't know that he has an offensive coordinator. He didn't hire him. The offensive coordinator is also picking the personnel. So so they have a connection there. So Derek Carr could end up going there if he agrees to it. If he like, you know, if David like convinced him, hey man, maybe you could turn it around over there, which I think would be crazy. But I could see Josh McDaniels.
I mean, that is where his brother played. He could keep the Carr tradition going.
He does like Texas. And he did play Texas high school football. But, you know, it's him agreeing to it. But that's just something stupid, Josh McDaniels. They would go through the whole process. They'd get the deal done and then present it to Derek. And he'd be like, the Texans. We're like, yeah, we got a first and a third. And Davis Mills coming for you. And Darren Waller. We're sending Darren with you, too.
Jesus.
Carr's like, no? That's the thing. They have to get a trade done with a team he wants to go to. They're such idiots. I don't even want to talk about this, Chris. Why are we talking about this? Because they're just idiots. Dumbest thing they've handled this. This guy's in full control. You try to get rid of a quarterback who's in control? That makes no sense.
That's a path anyway. Your guys want, man.
But a team that could take him, this is a good transition here. Frank Reich gets hired by the Carolina Panthers. So that could be a Derek Carr destination. Frank Reich, he's on his way to Carolina, become a head coach for the Carolina Panthers over Steve Wilks, which we were kind of getting to that. But
yeah, that's one way to go full circle.
We're getting full circle. We're coming back. But Frank Reich is the head coach over there. When I saw the record that Frank Reich got fired at and how the Jags got into the playoffs, I was thinking, like, man, maybe the Colts could have figured it out. Because he's 3-5-1. The team that won the division was 2-7. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm just saying, maybe he could have figured it out if Jim Irsay just didn't, you know,
pull the trigger.
For the trigger, which I'm tired of these owners, man. I'm tired of owners. I'm reading this book about the Patriots, and Art Modell used to call Bill Belichick with stuff he used to hear from sports journalists. And I was like a sports journalist say they didn't run enough screens, and he would call Bill Belichick and say, why didn't we run enough screens?
Stop it.
So I just imagine, because yeah, that's a sports order. Sports orders listen to sports radio, get mad about Derek Carr, and then come cut him because you're just a fan, basically. So you know, Jim Irsay let that team go away, and then now Frank Reich goes over there. I think Frank Reich's a good coach. I love him on Hard Knocks. I think he's a good coach. I think he has a problem finding quarterbacks. He likes a veteran, so I think he's going to try to get Derek. He likes a guy who likes Jesus, and I think that's something that Derek really likes. And you know, they could do those things together. That's why he got Carson Wentz. Chris, he said it. I'm sorry, he said that's why he liked Carson Wentz. Let's see.
Spiritual man. He's a spiritual man.
But it was funny today. He said, I like quarterbacks like accuracy. I was like, wait a second.
Interesting.
Oh, man. So they can. There's a connection there. I think they might go after Derek for real. Like, for real, for real.
Okay.
They might. They might do that. And I don't see why Derek, why we wouldn't want to go over there. Because there's no quarterbacks in that division. He's the best quarterback. He lands, he sat down, he's the best quarterback in the division.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong.
And with that team, he should go to the playoffs. In that conference, in that division, he should go to the playoffs. That should be the expectation if they trade him for him. which I know a lot of Panthers fans are going to be upset because they want to draft like Anthony Richardson, but Frank Reich, he's going to want a veteran. He just is. Obviously, we've seen it for 4 years in a row. So your thoughts on Frank Reich?
I never thought about that point that you just mentioned. When he got fired, they were a game up on the team that won the division. Uh-huh. Like the way that the season played out. I think that's a man that knows his football. Mm-hmm. And I don't find anything in your conversation, in your statements that you just made to me, to disagree with. I don't find anything to disagree with there. I'm curious as to what kind of look Sam Darnold's going to get, because the way that he started playing in the back half of that season, when they really kept the focus on the running game, and I would anticipate that Frank Reich comes in and does the same thing. He had that blueprint in Indy with giving Jonathan Taylor the football. There's no reason that they don't keep the focus on that running game. I'll be curious to see if they do bring in a guy like Derek Carr, what can they do? Because there's going to be some options. I believe some wide receivers are available in the free agent market this year.
Yeah, but you think about it, they still got DJ Moore and Terrence Marshall over there, dude.
I keep forgetting that they drafted Terrence Marshall. And, like, yeah. he playing opposite of Ja'Marr Chase makes him disappear in everybody's head in college. Like, he wasn't a scrub. Like, Joe got him the ball. Terrence looked good at LSU. I'm curious – what's this? This is year three for him, right? Like this is the make or break year for wide receivers. Year three, year four. That's when you find out what you really have. So do they even really go after Derek Carr? Do they give Sam that offense and really just – I mean, Sam Darnold, he's had to learn – oh, that's right.
He's a free agent, okay? He's
out right. I was thinking that he was – I forgot that this was his fifth year. I thought he was going into his fifth year. I thought that they were going to pick the option up on that fifth year.
Yeah, because it'll be interesting. I don't know if they bring back Darnold. I know Frank Reich wanted Derek Carr like in 2020 or 2021 before they traded for Carson Wentz. They called the Raiders. The Raiders were like, hell no, because secretly John Gruden was in love with him in secret. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have that connection, man. I just feel like that might happen. And I think Derek would want to go there. He would be like, okay, I'm cool with that.
But yeah, I mean, there's some good bones in Carolina. It's not like Arizona where it's a complete dumpster fire.
See, the thing is, Chris, the Raiders got 2 weeks, man. We're counting down. It's January 27th. They got to the 17th of February to make a trade. I don't know how close they are. I hope they're close to something because
why? Well, so tell me the significance there. What's February 17?
That's the start. That's when Derek Carr's contract is guaranteed.
February 17? He got it a full month before the start of the new season. They can't trade anybody before the 15th of March. Man. Oh my gosh. Like, even if they put something in the works, they gotta rewrite his contract too.
Or, because see, the real secret, Chris, there's still a lane where they might have to keep him. There's a lane there. There is a small lane that nobody wants to admit. There's a little tiny lane where everybody's like, comes back together. It's like, Derek, we're sorry.
Dude, this is exactly what's going to happen. This is playing into our narrative. Brady ends up in New England as a Patriot. Rodgers ends up in New York as a Jet, and the Raiders are sitting there going, oh, God, we don't have a quarterback.
Okay. It's there. Because even there's a tweet by Justin Anderson. I feel like this became like a Raiders Derek Carr show. I don't know what this is. But it factors into these moves.
Sure.
Justina Anderson to the tweet that the Raiders are still weighing out their options at quarterback, which tells me they probably made some calls and they probably have a value of what they want for Derek.
And they're not getting a single thing close to it.
Because why would you? You got 3 weeks, man. Give me a fifth. You're like, no, man. Give me. I guess you're paying $40 million. I'll give you a fourth. Okay, okay. Not just a fifth. I'll give you a fourth too. How about that for 2024? Not 2023. A fourth. For
Yeah. Conditional. Conditional. If he plays well, you can get the fourth then.
Yeah. Or we want a six. We'll give you a six and a conditional second round pick if he plays well. If we go to the AFC Championship game.
Bro.
The worst way to handle this. That's why I said there's a lot of Raiders fans celebrating, but there's just a small lane. It's tiny. It's there. It's a small, tiny lane that he could still be the quarterback in 2023. It's there. It's there. All right, Chris. What are the coaching changes we got? We got Sean Payton, Arizona. I do want to talk about that a little bit before we get the championship games.
Because you think that's it? You think that's happening?
Why else does he fly out here, Chris? He's flying out here. The thing is, you got to give up like two first round picks for him. Is that worth it? Let's talk about that, Chris.
No.
Sean Payton. I mean, okay, let me ask you.
Because they're trying to trade, unless they think they're getting a first round trip back for Hopkins, because they actively said they're shopping him this offseason. Like, you think you're only paying one first round pick for Sean Payton? No, you don't make this move if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They need their draft picks in the worst possible way. Half their line went down with season-ending injuries, and they're old. You think they're going to get some of those old guys back at 100% for their offensive line?
Yeah.
No.
My thing is, like, why did Sean Payton just go back to New Orleans? Like, if he wants to coach again. Like, what is happening over there? He's not what a coach there.
You know what he's doing? He's waiting. We originally thought that he was getting that Chargers job. You and I was convinced of it. He was going to end up in L.A. I think that's where he wanted to go. The Chargers are not – I think they saw that they have to give up two first-round picks. They see that they're in a lot of trouble offensively too, and they didn't go down that road. I think he's waiting out for the Dallas job.
Interesting.
But I think he's willing to wait another year and get that broadcaster money. Mike McCarthy doesn't survive one more season that goes this way.
Yeah, how many years?
Jerry Jones doesn't have that patience, huh?
Do you know this, Chris? How many years is he on the contract?
Sean Payton. I think when he left one full season ago. So this is. He's gone 2 years without coaching now. Is that correct?
No. This is his first year without coaching. So
this is his first year.
1 year.
So yeah. I thought it was 2 years left. I thought it was two.
Wow.
So I could see him. He could just be treading water until that LA job or that Dallas job comes available. I could have sworn that was his initial. Like that's what the rumors were that was what he was thinking of initially.
To me, it's just like, I know Sean Payton has Super Bowl. I know he has Super Bowl, but he just missed the playoffs a lot for me. And I know it's defense. I know. But
after 2024, so three total years without coaching, he'd have to go before that contract expires.
That's what I'm saying, man. Is he really worth two first round picks, though?
No.
Is he really worth two first round
picks? That's why it only I mean, it's only happened once. It worked out.
No. I found it at this. I said I read this Patriots book. The Robert Kraft gave a first round pick to the Jets for Bill Belichick.
Oh,
yeah, because Bill Belichick held him hostage. This book's awesome. I'm gonna read this. It's a great book. He held him hostage, bro. Basically, he said, "No, you're not. I'm not giving you Bill Belichick. I don't care if you announce him. I'm like you. You have to give me a first round pick." And Bill didn't even want him. Like Bill, like hated him. Bill used to make fun of him. It was funny, but and then you know the John Gruden one, of course. That's the,
mm-hmm. One, the John Gruden. Yeah, that's the one that everybody remembers.
Yeah, so
that's the one that I remembered.
So a guy like me who's worth a first round pick is like Mike Tomlin. I think that's a first round pick, coach. Like you want to give him a first round pick? You know, he's never had a losing season. I just don't see Mike Tomlin losing with Drew Brees. Just my opinion. I don't know. I feel like they go to the playoffs a lot. I don't know about you, Chris, but he had Ben Roethlisberger. They went to the playoffs all the time.
You know, he almost did it with Kenny Pickett. He almost did it with the Dolphins. Are the reason the Jets are the reason that he didn't make it with Kenny Pickett this year.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, Sean Payton is, I just feel like it's a lot for Sean Payton. Like, he thought Taysom Hill was a starting quarterback in NFL. He really thought that. He tried it. Like, that was his, he was grooming him.
Well, did he really think it, or was he just kind of backed up against the wall because his Hall of Fame quarterback had the gun to his head?
You're giving him the benefit of the doubt on that. I don't know.
I'm giving him a little bit of the benefit of a doubt.
He thought Taysom Hill was the future of the Saints. Okay. He was Drew Brees' replacement. And man, was he wrong about that. So, you know, it's interesting to see what happens with him, man. But I know he wanted that Chargers one. But two first round picks. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Time to get into the reason that we're still going this season. The playoffs are being played. Actual football is still happening out
for
there.
For
real. We spent almost half the podcast on an off-season conversation. It's in-season still, baby. It's the playoffs.
It's championship
Marcus didn't
time.
Didn't do too well with his picks. I get my four picks in the NFC-AFC championship
a
game.
Super Bowl champion is still there. That's all that matters. All that matters.
The Bills blew it for me, man. I'll tell you what. I see that coming. They got dominated on the line. That was a statement game for sure. I watched that game, Marcus, and I was like, wow, I gotta hop on the Joe Burrow train.
You're gonna hop on the Joe Burrow train for that one?
I think I have to. I'm going to wait one more game. I'm gonna wait one more game before I fully support him. But because a part of me wants to think that the Bills just never saw a scenario where they were losing that game. I feel like that defense came in and was like, three of their five offensive linemen are out. Whatever, this is a cakewalk. And then that offensive line mauled them. Absolutely mauled them. And that defense panicked. I have never seen so many miscommunications by one of the best defenses in the league in a playoff game like that. Like the Bills, they were dropping into zone coverage. They were only rushing four. Like they didn't send a blitz. And they were not communicating on the back end. There were guys running wide open. Mm-hmm. Was Burrow moving them with his eyes? I didn't take the time to try and break this one down.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow played well enough for them to win. The thing is with Burrow in the playoffs. Burrow has some great regular season games, so you know he was great.
That was the one game that because I ragged on this to a nauseam in the last playoffs about how the other teams gave away the games that I saw that I felt the Bengals won it. I don't feel like the Bills gave that game away. I feel like the Bengals won that one. Just they dominated the line of scrimmage, offensive line and defensive line. That's where it started. That's where the whole game was played. And the Bengals just crushed the Bills.
Yeah, because my thing is, I mean, the Bengals probably shouldn't have been in this game if Tyler Huntley doesn't reach over like a crazy person. That's the wild part about this.
That's why I say this is the first game that looked like they actually played and won the
dominated
game.
Dominated somebody.
Gave
right?
it away. Yeah, yeah. They dominated.
they should have lost to Tyler Huntley. That's what we're about to crown him, and he should have lost Tyler Huntley. That's the thing. I just don't think he's got to the point where he's better than Mahomes, because he's going to have a performance to me where I'm just not like, oh my God, that's a great team. And I mean, people might say that that's hating because let's talk about this. I mean, on the other side of the football, I mean, they had Josh Allen looking like he was the guy.
He had no idea. He was the kid that I had been ripping on ever since he got drafted. Like Josh Allen, he regressed this season. He did not get better. He peaked in that AFC Championship game last year. That was it. That was peak Josh Allen.
Well, it's Brian DeBall too, you know.
Well, absolutely. Like, he helped make Josh grow as a quarterback and progress into the guy that he was. He peaked last year. He lost his offensive coordinator. He's not the same guy. He's regressing already, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's hard. We'll see next year. I think he played like he did last year. It's just it went into the playoffs this year. It didn't go into last year.
Yeah, that's a good way to call it. Because if you look at his stat line, it's almost identical to last season. He played the same regular season. He was one of the league leaders in interceptions. His completion percentage was better than it has been over his entire life, but like it's not like, oh my God. Like he's an elite quarterback. His completion percentage is like he's completing these balls. This is a man who's got a rifle and he knows it. And he's going to do everything he can to make every single throw. He's a giant. He's athletic as hell. And he knows that he can survive longer than the average quarterback trying to make a play. Well, the Bengals whooped on him.
Yeah.
They whooped on him.
And you could play on that because, I mean, he holds the ball long. So, like, the Bengals are doing, like, these blitzes. They're, like, a guy, like, 10 yards out. He's blitzed him.
They're bringing safety blitzes, dude. And he, like, creeps up, like, 3 yards from his original starting position.
Yeah.
You can't account for a safety blitz from the safety position like that. And he's going to get home? What?
And that's what they're playing because they know he's going to hold the ball. So if you know he's going to hold the ball, that gives you time for that blitz to get there, you know, and then the lineman, he's not paying attention unless you have an all-world right tackle or a left tackle. They're not going to be paying attention that much if that guy comes to that from that far. So that's something like that Mike Hilton fumble. I mean, those are the type of things that they got them with. But that's why, you know, the Bengals are where they are, and now they're going to Arrowhead, talking about Burrowhead, which I think is the craziest thing to say.
Oh. That I couldn't agree with you more. I've never seen a betting line jump the way that it has. Yeah, it's changed. It changed twice on who the favorite was, and the week's not over.
That's what I'm saying. They said Burrowhead, and I feel like Mahomes' ankle got healed really quick once they said Burrowhead. that just wasn't smart to say. The Bengals team is really cocky. You know, Eli Apple is that. I mean, Joe Burrow's cocky as hell. You know, they're a really cocky team, right? Mm-hmm. And that's probably why they're pretty good. I mean, probably the coach is probably – he probably breeds it in them too. The coach is probably cocky too on secret.
You need that kind of confidence to play football. You need it.
Yeah, that's true. You do need that kind of confidence.
And then there's times when that kind of confidence backfires pretty severely. Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, man, because, you know, Chiefs don't like them, obviously. Obviously, after they say Burrowhead, they're not going to like them very much. It's going to be interesting how this game goes because, you know, Mahomes and them were about to blow out the Jags, but then Mahomes got hurt, right? So I think Mahomes is a better pocket passer, right, than he was before. I don't think it's the ankle's going to hurt him as much. I think what's going to hurt them, which I'm worried about, which kind of happened in the Jags game, is that when you don't have Tyreek Hill and you have to play from the pocket, you can't just, you know,
make guys get open. Where's that separation?
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have to see who can separate other than Mr. Kelce, which I don't know if anybody else can do that on this team. So that's going to be interesting for this matchup.
I know MVS can get open down the field, but can he catch the ball? That's the big question.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, even if he can get open down the field, I mean, it's a lot of the routes they run, they don't run those straight go routes all the time. With, you know, Patrick Mahomes, always those crossers and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they try to factor an offense. Are they going to run the ball all the time? Which I don't think they are because it's Andy Reid. Andy Reid's not running the ball. I don't care. Everybody's like, they need to go 12 personnel, 13 personnel. I'm like, you guys just keep dreaming.
I saw somebody say 14 personnel for him too.
That's Dan Orlovsky. Like, Dan, come on, bro. Come on, man. How long have you been in the NFL? If it was 03, he wouldn't do 13 personnel. If it was 2003 with Donovan McNabb, he was throwing the ball 50 times, man. Like, this is crazy. You know, their best running back back then was with Brian Westbrook. And Brian Westbrook, how many carries did Brian Westbrook get a game? Like 12? Like, this is not, this is a philosophy.
Brian Westbrook, he was Austin Eckler before there was Austin Eckler.
Exactly, man. So I don't even remember him running the ball half the time. You know, he did was catch passes.
It was everything out of the backfield. Yeah.
So I think we might see a lot of that, in my opinion. I think we see a lot of Jerick McKinnon this week. A lot of Jerick McKinnon. People are crazy thinking they're going to go 12 personnel and run the football and be Smash Mouth. That's nuts. This is Andy Reid.
And it's Patrick Mahomes, man.
I know. And you know, the losses of the Bengals are always close, right? And they're always like down to one stupid play, like a fumble from Travis Kelce against his last time. They fumbled in the fourth and stopped the big drive. Last time they played cover zero against Jamar Chase, which is just stupid. And then this last time, then they blew a 21-3 lead. Also stupid stuff. And so it's always been really close with this game. So it's going to be interesting to see how this game ends. But I think Joe Burrow's he can't just be along for the ride like he has been for a lot of these playoff runs this game. They call it Burrowhead. He can't be along for the ride. He's going to need to, like, ball, not just, you know, get the occasional 3rd and 10, you know, like he has been this past couple of games. Because they ran the ball all over the Bills. I mean, let's keep it real. They're just – he's 23-36 for, like, 6.7 YPA. It's just not like it's not Aaron Rodgers in 2010. You know what I'm
saying?
It's
just yeah.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers,
what happened?
There's only been 8 quarterbacks in the NFL that have made it to the conference championship game 5 times. Mm-hmm. 8. Aaron Rodgers is one of them. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Joe Montana. John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, Patrick Mahomes.
What about Donovan McNabb? Didn't he go 5 times?
No, he went 4.
Did he?
Yeah, he lost all 4. Him and Rodgers are the only two that have lost 4 NFC championship games.
So this would be Mahomes. What he if he lost this one? This would be his 3rd loss.
Yeah, because he's been to Super Bowl twice. 1 win, 1 loss.
I don't know, man. This is what is it? Andy Reid or is it Patrick? That's what we get. We got to. I think this is a real conversation to have. I think is it Andy Reid? Is this because we talk about is this Patrick Mahomes' legacy game? In my opinion, I think if they change coaches, Patrick Mahomes might get back there, regardless, right? And maybe another coach could actually get them over the hump, maybe more. If Andy Reid, he's an offensive wizard. I get it, but he's been to a lot of NFC championships. I did because you say who has 4 losses, right? Donovan McNabb, and then Mahomes might have 3.
There's a 7 NFC championship, a 7 championship game losses. Whew, that would be insane. That would be insane.
Wild. And only 1 Super Bowl, having like 10 going 10 times. Wild. And then you like blow leads and stuff. That's the thing. Like you're blowing leads, and you know, you almost lost the Super Bowl the first time. If Patrick Mahomes didn't save you with that play,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where you know,
almost lost to Jimmy.
Almost lost
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy. We almost had a Jimmy Garoppolo holding up the trophy, which was just with a Could you imagine that? We were so close to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Dude, Niners Chiefs is my pick. Or no, I was Niners Bills. But so I mean, if that gives away anything, I'm going with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win at home. I don't think Patrick Mahomes allows for Burrowhead to become a thing.
That's my pick. I was gonna go Bengals. Going to the show, Chris. I was gonna go Bengals. I was thinking Bengals.
You're going Bengals. Until you saw Burrowhead. Okay.
You can't lose, Chiefs. So you have to win this game at this point. I'm sorry. Yeah. You can't because then it's Burrowhead. You make
the decision. Then it is. Yeah. It's Burrowhead if they lose.
And I know they're pissed because Willie Gay yesterday was like, so what's great about the Bengals
Nothing. Office?
Nothing.
Yeah. He said it twice. Bad. Nothing.
They're mad. We just got to stop the run. Even disrespect the bro, we just got to stop the run.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a great game. I can't wait to watch it. Because, man, this is going to be some trash talking. This is going to be, man.
This is going to be a great game.
Because they got to back it up now.
The refs better not get in the way of this game. That's all I got to say.
The Bengals got to back it up, man. They got to back it up. All that talking, that Burrow ahead. It's just wild to say, man. I mean, the Chiefs have been pissed at the Raiders just from going around in a circle in a victory lap, taking the victory lap after beating them there. And you called it, Burrowhead? Mm-mm. I mean, you only won there once. That's the thing. That's the thing when they call it Burrowhead to bother me. You only won there one time. It's not like you won there like it's like you're in the Chargers or something and you just been beating them. You beat them two times a year, like the last two years. And then beat them in the playoffs too. You won two games at home. Okay. You're not home right now. You won an Arrowhead one time. You know, I just think it was a little crazy. Cause then I saw that a city council member say it. That's why I was like, oh, now it's gone too viral. It's gone too far. Mm-hmm. It's gone too far, Chris. Mm-hmm. All right. So
I'm with you. So we're both on the Chiefs.
Because they have to win. Because they're embarrassed themselves till August. At least till they play the Bengals again, they'll be embarrassed. So This is for pride to me. I just feel like they have a little more pride. And I think Mahomes wants to show that he's the best quarterback in football. I think he's tired of the people saying if Burrow beats you, is he the best quarterback in football? And I feel like we're at the Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady type of thing. That's where we're at. We're at the Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. Because Tom Brady had like 23 touchdowns and like 12 interceptions, and then they kicked the Patriots, the Colts' butt. And Peyton Manning was the MVP. You know what I mean? It's just exact same thing. And it's Joe Burrow win the game throwing 150 yards. Joe Mixon 230 yards rushing, but we're like, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Patrick Holmes with three interceptions. Joe Burrow was 150 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But he had a big run for 12 yards after he handed the ball off to Joe Mixon 27 times for 200 yards. So that's what happened.
That sounds a lot like what Brock Purdy just did against the Cowboys. And his big play, instead of a 12 yard run, was a throw into the middle of the field to George Kittle, who bobbled it. And you would talk about a game of inches. When he got that ball in his hands and ducked his shoulder, I don't know who the DB was that went flying by, but he almost knocked that ball straight out of his hands. So, Brock Purdy did enough, survived, and now has us having a conversation about him and the Niners in the NFC Championship game.
Is Brock Purdy Mark Sanchez? That's what we're going to find out this week. Mark Sanchez, he's a rookie, got to the AFC Championship game. Joe Flacco, his rookie, got to the AFC Championship game, right? But they all had a big loss at that point. So Purdy is here. He's made it. I don't think he played very well last week, right?
He did not do anything that stood out.
No, he didn't play very well.
He did enough, though. He didn't turn the ball. He didn't Dak it and turn the ball over. Dak should have thrown four interceptions in that game. Four. They dropped two of them.
I guess Dak broke up with his girlfriend like 2 days later, so he must have been going through it.
Did he break up with her or did she break up with him? He's having a tough. He's having a tough week. That guy's having a tough week. I already told you he was not worth that contract that he gave him. Thank you for proving me right, Dak Prescott.
I mean, he got
keeping one of my narratives.
Million. Well, 40 million is divisional round, right? 50 million Super Bowl.
No.
At this point.
No.
I mean, Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones is getting that divisional round money. He's a divisional round. That's 40 million right there. And then if you get to the Super Bowl, it's 50 plus. So.
Yeah, and how many times has Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray gotten to the Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers has only been there once.
I'm just saying that's how the structure should be. If we're
there's only one guy with a $50 million a year that has actually played in a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird. I mean, the whole quarterback pay thing, which is a whole different episode that we can have later on, I guess. Because I got a whole hour rant on that because I just understand.
Well, there's definitely a conversation to be had because the two quarterbacks here in the NFC Championship game are system guys on their rookie deals. These teams are successful because of the system that they're running, not because these quarterbacks are the reason that they're there.
But what happens if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, right, with the Eagles, right? His year three is up. What might happen? They might pay. I mean, you won a Super Bowl. You're in the MVP conversation. You got MVP nominated. You know, this is nomination now. You don't see that. Uh-huh. You got nominated for the MVP, right?
So they're going to have to pay him. You got to pay him. You got to pay him more than Dak.
So this goes back to my conversation. So shouldn't – if a quarterback is better to be paid $1 million for us to go win, why are we paying them $50 million? Chris, I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't say it made sense. I just said what you have to do.
Like, everybody's like, what you need is a quarterback on $5 million to win. But I think Justin Herbert deserves.
Because then you can put people around him. Then you can afford to have talent on the route. You can afford a Deebo Samuels. You can afford a Christian McCaffrey. You can afford a Trent Williams, and then you can load up that defense where that they're killing everybody.
See, I think the Niners is different because the Niners they paid Jimmy G when they built that team.
No, because they didn't pay him $40 million. They only paid him $20 million.
I mean, the cap was so much lower. This is 5 years ago.
So what? It's the highest paid quarterback in football. That's offensive line. He was not the highest paid quarterback. Yes, I will not accept that.
He was. He was the highest paid quarterback. They gave him like $27-29 million, more than Derek Carr got at that point.
And then, dude, that's left tackle money right now.
Okay, Chris. But that's my point is the salary cap is higher, right? They still pay Jimmy a lot of money. They drafted really well because they drafted Fred Warner. They drafted Drake. They drafted. So basically,
they drafted very well.
You pay your quarterback. He tears his ACL for 2 years, right? And then you get, and then what you do is you draft really well, and then
until you draft Trey Lance, and you try to you bench the guy. Oh yeah, you didn't even want him to come back the year after that he made it to the Super Bowl with you. And then you put the guy – and then you got to play him because it was the guy that you went for. You know, he hurt himself and he's done for the year. And then you got to pay him. And then he hurt himself too. Oh.
Because my other caveat to the rookie deal thing, because people like to use Joe Burrow too. But if Joe Burrow finishes rookie season, because he was pretty good as a rookie. He wasn't bad. He's a pretty good player. I liked his tape as a rookie. If he finishes that season where they probably like 6-10, 7-9, he didn't get Jamar Chase. He got hurt, which allowed them to have another high pick. And then get Jamar Chase, which then allowed them to be an elite team. So it's a lot more to do with just the rookie deal thing. I like to point that out. But
absolutely. Absolutely. You got to be able to draft well. That's a requirement 100%. In the NFL. You have to be able to draft well.
Especially these days. Especially if you have to pay a quarterback $50 million.
Especially if you're in the back half of the draft, your entire – tenure as a GM. If you're not in the top 15, you're not getting difference makers. You gotta search. You're not plugging in guys that are guaranteed wins. And then all you gotta deal with is do they come with baggage? Do they come with an attitude? Like,
yeah.
You're getting these guys in the back half of the first round that are a little bit more humble because they've been humbled. Or you're finding them later in the draft, and they're working to make themselves worthwhile.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, Eagles versus Niners. I think
Jalen Hurts. This game's gonna come down to. Okay, you say what you gotta say first, and then I'm gonna.
Okay. So Jalen Hurts. I mean, he really didn't do much last game. He really didn't have to. Is over as soon as the Giants went for it on the first drive on fourth down. I was like, oh, you guys are scared. You guys are you know what's about to happen if you don't score here. I see. I see the vision. You're like, if we don't score on this first drive, they're about to score again. So that game was over from the start. I think it's gonna be a tougher game. a little bit, but I just think the Eagles are so damn good. And I think the main thing that we missed from the Eagles is how they almost tied the sack record that was set by the 84 and 85 Bears. So they have almost as many sacks as the 46 defense. Okay. And I think that's a huge factor here. I know that the they got Trent Williams, but I mean, they got Javon Hargrave and they got Fletcher Cox and they got Josh Sweat and they got Hassan Reddick, who's just playing out of his damn mind. And then, you know, and then they got an awesome secondary, right? They got Linval Joseph to kind of play the run a little bit better. That's their weakness.
And Sue. They got Sue to come in there and be a physical beast in the middle of the field.
Yeah, this team is just so loaded. It's more loaded than the Niners are. The Niners are loaded.
Jordan Davis, did he even come back? Giant rookie? Did N'Kobe Dean come back to play in the middle of the field? I don't even remember. I don't even remember if those guys came back. But you're right. That defense is definitely doing something.
Right, and the Niners problem is they have a weak secondary. Straight up.
Well, no. The Niners have weak cornerbacks.
Okay, their safeties are. I mean, safeties
are good.
Hufanga, if you can get him one-on-one in space, he can't guard anybody. Hufanga's like a natural, like, instinct safety where he's like, he could jump like something in zone. But if you can get him one-on-one in coverage, you can isolate him, which I think Sirianni, he's smart. He could do stuff like that. Get him on Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert eat him up. So that's the thing. So that's why I think this is going to be a little bit of a chess match. But the Eagles are just so much – they're just too loaded.
Both of these rosters are loaded. And that's where you've got me thinking about this too. And this is what I was waiting to say. The Eagles win this game if they can throw down the sideline 10 to 15 yards, big chunks, man coverage on the outside, taking advantage of playing against those corners. I don't think they're going to see any man coverage.
See, the thing is, I mean, they really don't play a lot of man coverage. They play a lot of zone. But
I know, but that's what I'm saying. They know how to play in that defensive system. This is where you need an elite quarterback. This is where you need an elite quarterback in this kind of a game. And they don't have it. Jalen Hurts is not an elite quarterback. He's a system guy who's going to benefit by the plays that are being called. This is a chess match between the head coaches. You think Sirianni wins the chess match?
Hell yeah!
See, I don't see that. I think D'Amico Ryans will be able to match him, and he'll call a great defensive game. I think he's got a good game plan there.
I will tell you this: I watched Josh McDaniels expose the Niners. He exposed them, and that's what he did. I mean, it pissed me off. Because I don't know where the hell that was all year with exposing teams. But he exposed the 49ers, man. They have some weaknesses in that defense that – because it's just so – they don't play a lot of deception. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and you can move around and mess with those linebackers. And that's what I think Sirianni's going to do. He's going to RPO them to death. They're not going to know whether Jalen Hurts is keeping the ball. They got their butt kicked by Marcus Mariota earlier in the year, which is kind of my warning here. They got – Marcus Mariota was 13 to 14 and ran like 100 yards on them and was ran all over them. And they lost the Falcons. So that's my thing with this game. I think Jalen Hurts could have like 100 yards rushing. Right? We're talking about him throwing the ball. I'm not even talk about that because I think he's going to have like 100 yards rushing and he's going to RPO them to death. He's going to have like 100 yards, 190 yards in the air with like three touchdowns. And the Eagles is going to dominate them on defense. And that's what's going to happen in this game. It's going to be like a little bit of an RPO, college football, blitzkrieg. Because they got RPOs for everything. They got RPOs on deep routes. They got RPOs where he could keep it and roll out and hit a tight end. They got RPOs where he could just keep it and run. They got RPOs where he could just, you know, it's run, pass, offense, pass, run. Sirianni cooks back there, man.
I don't think they're going to give Jalen Hurts the opportunity to hurt them down the field with his arm. I think they want him to run the ball. I think that defense is going to be sure enough of a tackling defense to prevent any big plays being ripped off. If Jalen Hurts beats them, it's with his legs and he's breaking tackles. That's the only way that I see the Eagles pulling this one off. I'm taking the under. I don't even know what the number is. I'm taking the under. I think this is a defensive game where both quarterbacks are going three and out like crazy. I you know, Brock Purdy has to do enough not to lose this game. And if there is anything that makes me lean more to the Niners, is I'm going back to the college days. You know, Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy played against each other, right?
Oh, he beat Iowa State.
He didn't beat him. He didn't beat him. They went for two in double overtime, and he threw the ball into his tight end, and his tight end got the ball ripped away from him. And Oklahoma won by one after they were up 28-7, and Brock Purdy brought him all the way back. This game finished like 55-54. Like, it was incredible. It was an incredible game in Oklahoma where Jalen Hurts was throwing to CeeDee Lamb like crazy, and they had more talent than that Ohio State team. I just don't see Jalen Hurts doing enough in this game, and it's going to come down to Jalen Hurts doing enough in this game. The only way that my words are going to be eaten is Jalen Hurts getting that ball down the sideline and those wide receivers are beating the corners. That's if D'Amico Ryans can call a game to have his cornerbacks protected in the back feet, in the back half, 10, 15, 20 yards down the field, the Niners win this game.
I just don't see the Niners win this game. I don't think this game's going to be close. I think the Eagles are going to beat them. Like it's going to be close. Like it's going to have a field close, but it's going to end up like 27-14 or something like that. This will be one of those games.
Well, Vegas says it's -2 Eagles, so I'm taking the +2.5 points with the Niners.
I just don't see the Niners beating the. I think that pass rush is going to get to Purdy. Purdy's going to start running around in the circle, and he's going to make some mistakes, and somebody's finally going to catch them.
Yeah, well, so far, Brock Purdy, when he does start running around in circles, he seems to run backwards and then throw the ball out of bounds instead of throwing it into the middle of the field. He's not Kirk Cousins. He's not checking down on 4th and 8 for a little 3-yard pattern. I haven't seen Brock Purdy give us any reason to believe that he's going to panic and lose it into this situation.
Nobody else is doing that besides Kirk Cousins. That was the biggest Kirk Cousins move. Kirk, don't go through your natural progressions, bro. The game's on the line. Yes, I know that's the progression. I know, Kirk. That's the progression. But the game's on the line. Don't go through your natural progressions. 1-2. Well, oh, one's out there. Go to 2. No, the game's on the line. It's 4th and 8. He should have threw it to one anyways.
They did it against Buffalo. He just threw it up then. Why couldn't he do it there?
I don't know.
Because, you know, Justin Jefferson was in that. He had to just have a meltdown in the locker room. You throw it to me against Buffalo, but you won't do it right here when it matters the most of our entire season.
I had to throw to 2, man. One's not there. Double team. Safety over the top. Not there. I got to go to 2. My choice route for 3 yards.
So, Marcus, you are saying Eagles. And are you taking it at -2.5? Or are you saying this? It sounds like you're willing to take the 2.5 points to be covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think the Eagles are just a dominant team. We're not recognizing it because of Jalen Hurts. If Joe Burrow was on his team, we'd be like, oh my God, this is the greatest, one of the greatest football teams of all time. They got 70 sacks, bro. Like, this is a dominant football team. This is probably one of the best football teams of all time.
Is Lane Johnson playing?
Yeah, he's playing, bro.
He's playing? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. This is a top notch football team. This is a Super Bowl football team. And I know the Niners have that type of nucleus, but Niners don't have 70 sacks. They're not tying the 85 Bears. Nobody talks about that. That is crazy.
I don't know. I like Dre Greenlaw. I like Fred Warner. I like Bosa. In the interior, Eric Armstead. They got Kinlaw, too, just sitting there, by the way. He's just an absolute stud defensive tackle. Just, you know. I don't know. I like... These are the two stacked. We're getting the best of the best in the NFC, and we're getting the best of the best in the AFC. These four teams deserve to be here. We're not getting anybody limping in. Nobody's here by luck. Nobody's here by
the Titans.
Yeah, there's nothing happening here that is like oh, why is this team even here? We're getting the four best teams in this position. So I'm happy with what we saw, even if some of my predictions were wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see Dak go home because he was not worth that $40 million that he's getting paid.
That's the running mark, man, for quarterbacks. I mean, I was on the radio. I must have had a heart attack because this guy was asking me questions about the Raiders, and he was like, so what do you think if the Raiders gave Jimmy Garoppolo 4 years for 139? And I almost passed out while I was during the interview.
Garoppolo?
4 years, 139. And the guy I talked to, I know he's an insider, so I was like, I would have asked.
Where'd you get that number? Yeah.
Who told you that? That's... I swear, if the Raiders give him 4 years, 139, bro, I don't know if I can do this show anymore, Chris. I might retire from all football coverage. I don't know if I can talk Raiders.
Okay, well, wait until after we go and see the you know, we're going to – well, I'm not going to bring that up yet, you know? We're going to wait until – just wait. We got some stuff that we got to do next season, okay? You're not ready. I'm not letting you retire yet. Marcus and I are going to have an interesting
4 years, 139. 4 years, 139. Good Lord, for Jimmy G, that's more than Devontae Adams. How do you pay him more? Anyway,
how do you, we can't, no, all right, no. We're not ending on Jimmy Garoppolo to the Raiders. Like, pick another subject, okay? All right?
The draft. We can talk about the draft real quick.
No, I don't even want to go there either because I know you're going to say Anthony Richardson, and I'm just not ready for that conversation right now, okay? Please, let's just call it quits. We both are on the Chiefs. We're both opposite in the NFC. We got the best four teams left. Leave it at that.
So you don't want me to tell you that
I'm going to run. You're going to – I don't care if it's still recording. I'll just put – My headphones down. I'm going to go to the other room. Say goodbye by yourself without me.
All right, guys. All right. We're out of here. Remember, follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Also, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Follow me and Chris on Twitter, @TheMarkJohnNFL and @KingManellos for Chris. Check us out. Make sure you guys do that. Like I said, I'll be doing the draft stuff. Chris doesn't want to hear it yet, but we will be talking draft.
We will.
Have to face it. He'll have to face
it. I'll face the truth then, okay? AFC, NFC championship games. I'm done. We did way too much offseason talk, okay? There's still football being played.
All right, guys. We'll see you.